I invite you to turn in your Bibles once again, this time to Ephesians 5, for the reading of our epistle lesson and pulpit text for today. Please stand. Reading from Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 21, and reading through chapter 6, verse 4. St. Paul writes, "Submit to one another in fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let us unite our hearts with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, your word is truth, and we ask that you would sanctify us this morning in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Being that today is Father's Day, I thought it might be good for us to focus our attention not so much on fathers per se, but on the Christian household. The family today is under tremendous attack. The breakdown of the family unit is a serious problem in America, and it's having a devastating effect upon both church and society. Sadly, its consequences may be felt for generations to come. The good news is that the trend can be reversed. How? By returning to the biblical structure of the household. When we know what God's design is for marriage and family and build according to His master plan using His tools and materials, blessing will be the result. In our epistle lesson today from Ephesians 5 and 6, Paul touches briefly on the primary role and responsibility of husbands and wives, parents and children. I want to get to that and focus on that. But first, let's review some very basic things about marriage and the family. Marriage and the family was and is God's idea. It is His way of building and furthering His kingdom on earth. In the beginning, God created all that exists, including man, Adam. All was good, except for one thing. Adam was alone. So from out of Adam's rib, God formed woman, Eve, and brought her to the man, thus creating and establishing the divine institution of marriage. By God's divine design, marriage is to be between one man and one woman, and from this sacred lifelong union, children are conceived and born, and it is to be done in that order. The family is God's way of building and furthering His kingdom on earth. The family, therefore, by divine design, is to be the hub of society. Church and society will only be as strong as marriages and families are strong. In other words, there is no building up of the church or society without the building up of the family. The family, therefore, does not exist for its own benefit. It was and is created by God to bring glory and honor to Him. The blessing we derive is a byproduct. Those who stubbornly hold that their own happiness and convenience are the highest goals of family life, do not understand God's plan for marriage in the household, for they do not grasp its underlying structure and its basic starting point. Simply put, the family belongs to God. He created it. He determined its inner structure. He appointed for it its purpose and goal. By divine permission, a man and a woman may cooperate with God's purpose and become a part of it. But the home they establish remains His establishment. The psalmist writes, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." Thus, it is not our marriage, but His marriage. Not our home, but His home. Not our children, but His children. Not our family, but His family. This might sound like pious rhetoric, but it works itself out in thoroughly down-to-earth fashion. If Jesus is truly Lord in your family, it will influence everything, from the way you decorate your house to the way you spend your summer vacation. Having said all this by way of background, let's now turn our attention to our text and consider more specifically the Christian household. Keep in mind that God has a lot to say about this subject matter, and what we find here in Ephesians 5 and 6 is just a small part of it. Let's begin with the husband. To properly understand the role of the husband, we need first to understand his position within the home. In verse 23, Paul says that the husband is the head of his wife. By divine design, the husband is the head. The head of his wife and the head of his home. He is the head, not because he is any better than the wife, but by divine appointment. God has simply designed marriage in the family in this way. It's important, though, that we understand from God's perspective and design what headship means, and we'll get to that in a moment. When we go over this in pre-marriage counseling, I tell couples that I think it's unfortunate that Paul does not give to the wife any such corresponding body part. So I do it for him. If the husband is the head, it seems logical to me that the wife is the heart. Now, no one would argue over which of the two, the head or the heart, is the more important for the life of the body. For both are needed. Both head and heart are equally important. The only issue regarding these organs is one of difference in equally important functions. In other words, they serve different but equally important functions within the relationship. How then is headship to be understood and defined? Well, this leads us to the husband's primary role, which is love. In verse 25, Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives." The primary role and responsibility of the husband is to love his wife. How are we husbands to do this? Well, Paul goes on to say, "As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." The husband's love for his wife is to correspond with Christ's love for the church, his bride, and therefore is a giving love, a love that sacrifices and serves. The church was not worthy of Christ's love and did not deserve it. Nevertheless, he loved her. Likewise, a wife's attitudes and actions may not make her worthy of your love, but this does not remove your responsibility to love her. Thus, headship is interpreted as self-giving, self-sacrificing love, as Christ gave himself up for the church. The husband is to love his wife as Christ love the church. And how did Christ love the church? He cleaved her unto himself by giving himself up for her. This is agape love. And this self-giving love is exemplified in the cross. Jesus Christ was always putting aside his own personal interests and desires for what was in the best interest of his bride, the church. It is this sacrificial gesture that draws the church to Christ and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife is never to be the object of the husband's authority, but of his Christ-like love. Why does Paul single out love as the husband's primary role and responsibility? Because it is the wife's greatest need. Only as the wife knows she is so loved, can she feel safe and secure, and thus fully and freely give of herself in fulfilling her role within the Christian household. So let's now consider the primary role and responsibility of the wife. Whereas the husband's primary role is that of love, the wife's primary role is that of respect. We read in verse 33, "Let each one of you husbands love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Why does Paul single out respect? For the same reason he singles out love as the primary role of the husband toward his wife. It is his greatest need. This is not to say that the husband is not to respect his wife and the wife not to love her husband. No, not at all. What it is to say is that love is the wife's greatest need. When the husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, she then is safe and secure and free to fulfill her divine role toward her husband and household. Likewise, the husband's greatest need is that of respect. He cannot fulfill his role as head within the marriage and home without it. No leader can effectively lead without the respect of those he leads. And so it is within marriage. As the husband leads in love, the wife responds with respect. What does it mean that a wife is to respect her husband? Respect here means to treat with special consideration. Earlier, Paul addresses wives saying, "Be subject to your husbands. As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be subject in everything to their husbands." Instead of the word subject, some translations read obey. Either one of these words, along with the word respect, conveys the idea of paying close attention to someone. It carries the idea of attending to the needs of another. A positive, helpful response is written between the lines. Respect and submissiveness are not matters of mere outward form, but of inner attitude. When the wife's attitude toward her husband is one of respect, she will honor him and support him in all her thoughts, words, and deeds. A wife's respect for her husband is to be her willing response, even if her husband is not worthy of it. Jesus is. Just as God has placed no restrictions on the husband's responsibility to love his wife, so God places no conditions on the wife's responsibility to respect her husband. The primary responsibility of the wife is to respect her husband, particularly in his role as the head. She respects the fact that he is the head by divine authority and appointment, and she not only acknowledges and accepts this, but also encourages it. Respect. Treating with special consideration. Paying close attention to someone, attending to their needs. What this means more specifically is that the primary responsibility of the wife and mother is to give of herself, her time and energy, first and foremost to her husband, children, and home. This does not mean that she cannot hold a responsible position outside the home and still be in God's will. The scriptures abound with examples of career women, Miriam, Deborah, Esther, Anna, and Lydia, just to name a few. But the most blessed among women, the most honored woman of all time, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was a humble woman who found fulfillment as a wife and mother in the home where God had placed her. Jacqueline Kennedy expressed the woman's attitude toward her home when she said, I think that a wife's happiness comes in what will make her husband happy. I'll be a wife and mother first, then first lady. Respect. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. Why? Because this is his greatest need. For without the respect of his wife, he has a difficult time effectively fulfilling his role. Husbands, wives, let's now turn our attention to parents. What is the primary role of parents? Look at the last verse. Here Paul says that it is to bring them, that is their children, to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. In other words, they are to make disciples of their children, helping them by instruction and example become believers and followers of Jesus Christ. It means to help them understand what the will of the Lord is for their life, that God created them for a reason and a purpose. Help them discover what that is, equip them for it, and then send them forth with your blessing to fulfill that calling. The prophet Isaiah summarized the role and goal of parenthood best when he said, "You shall raise up the foundation of many godly generations." You see, your children are not your own. They belong to God. He made them and redeemed them. You are simply God's steward. He created your children and placed them in your home to be cared for by you for a brief period of time. In time, they will return to the Lord. Remember what our psalm for today said about all this? Lo, sons, that is children, are a heritage from the Lord. That is a blessing, a gift. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. What's the purpose of arrows in the possession of a warrior? When the time is right, he is to take his arrows out of his quiver, one by one, and shoot them out of his bow. In other words, when the time has come, parents are to launch their children out into the world, out from their protective covering, that they might fulfill the purpose for which God created them and called them. Thus, the primary responsibility of parents is to bring their children up in such a way, God's way, that when sent forth, they are able to fulfill their life's mission. And the best way to do this is to make disciples of your children. In being brought up to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior and to follow Him in every aspect of their life, children will be ready and prepared, fully equipped, lacking nothing, to go wherever God sends and do whatever He says. Being so trained and disciplined, they will have great success in whatever God calls them to do. Husbands, wives, parents, what about children themselves? Let's briefly consider their primary role within the Christian household. In a single word, Paul says that it is to obey. And he points to the fourth commandment as the basis of this charge. He says in 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Simply put, a child's primary role is to obey his parents. Kids who know their Bible are generally pretty quick to point out that Paul also says that parents are not to provoke their children to anger. But what does that mean? Kids, listen to me closely now. It doesn't mean that your parents are never to do anything that will make you mad. No. Read the remainder of the verse. "But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." What provokes children to anger is when parents are not raising their kids God's way, when they're not teaching them to be disciples of Jesus Christ. This is what frustrates and angers children. And rightfully so. But beyond that, you are to obey. The only exception to this command is if and when parents compel their children to do something that is contrary to the word and will of God. If and when this happens, you have a green light to disobey. Or as Peter says, we must obey God rather than man. This is the only exception to the fourth commandment. You may not like how your parents are raising you. You may not want to do what they tell you to do. But if it's not in direct violation of God's word and will, you are to obey. To disobey at this point is to be openly and defiantly rebellious. And the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, that is, Satanism or the occult. It's that serious in God's eyes. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, says Paul. The primary role of children within the household is to obey their parents. Obedience is the outward demonstration of the inner attitude of love. All throughout his gospel and epistles, John tells us that love is demonstrated by obedience. Thus, Luther summarizes his explanation of the fourth commandment by saying that children are to respect, obey, love, and serve their parents and others in authority over them. Remember, the household is the training ground for life. The family exists not for itself, but for the kingdom's sake. It is God's way of building and furthering His kingdom here on earth. The home is the training ground for this. God trains His disciples to respect, obey, love, and serve Him by learning to do these things first in the home in regard to their parents. Children who fail to learn these things at home will most likely fail to render them in regard to others and especially to God. But children who learn first to respect, obey, love, and serve their parents will most likely respect, obey, love, and serve others and God all the days of their life. Remember also, this is the only command with a promise. The promise is that it will go well for those children so trained in these disciplines. So children, learn to obey God by learning to obey your parents. Let's review. The family belongs to God. Does not exist for its own benefit. It was created by God to build and further His kingdom, and in so doing bring glory and honor to Him. Husbands, therefore, are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Wives are to respect their husbands. Parents are to bring their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And children are to obey their parents. When all this happens in concert, when each member of the household is doing his part, it makes for family growth and stability, which then builds and advances God's kingdom here on earth to His glory and honor. May all our households be so blessed of God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before You this day, and we acknowledge Your divine design for the household revealed to us in Your holy word. We also confess to You our sins and shortcomings in fulfilling our respective roles. We confess that we do not have what it takes in and of ourselves to do it. So we ask for Your grace. Grant us that ability to know Your will and that power that comes from Your grace to do it. That our homes, our families, our marriages, our children may be richly blessed. Your kingdom can be built and furthered here on earth. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.